1. Are you ready? This is the Morning Kickoff Footy Podcast. Your hosts are Oily Maguire, Sordid Sorin. Hang on, hang on. Has anyone seen the shovel to dig up Gazza? We need air fresheners too. He proper humdings. Sorry, yes, Gazza will be here. And the living legend that is truly wonderful, famous, best-selling author, actor, and podcast host, Dino. Have a good episode, lads. I'll see you at the outro. Is that Gary I can smell?
Welcome to the Morning Kickoff. I'm Gazza from the Grave with Oily and the Tearaway Dino.
Here's what's coming up in the show.
Oh, mate, it's so funny. Remember we went for breakfast at the golf club and you went, why did you add my wife on your Facebook? I went, ask her why she accepted, not why I've added her. I tell you what, it's really nice what you're doing as well, Ollie, when you say, I'm going to give you the fixtures for the 16th of March. I like that little bit.
You like me to read the date. You know what UEFA is called?
UEFA?
Nope. What does it stand for?
Oh, it's an acronym.
Sorin,
so what we're saying is it's an acronym, and what is the acronym?
That's correct.
Okay.
Something E, at European
Football Association.
That's correct, I think.
You've got to know.
So, guys, we had a good weekend. What have you been up to this week?
Very nice.
You know what the round of applause is for, though?
I got it right first time.
No. No Sorin.
Yes. Oh, relief.
Oh, Sorin. No sordid stories.
Yeah, he's apparently been arrested for animal cruelty.
Yeah.
Namely, a cow.
Yeah, I heard that.
And if you don't know what we're talking about with the cow, listen to episode 12, right at the end. Sorin's story. Sordid Sorin.
Got to listen to it.
It all goes very wrong very quickly with Sorin, as always. How are we all doing, boys?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, good. Really good,
well,
mate.
No, look,
absolutely.
We're all in the room together.
Well, no, the last time.
We got
last
a delay.
Time, the last time I jumped in, you were like, oh, I wasn't asking you, blah, blah, blah. So I was giving Gary a go.
God, he's getting cheeky.
How are we all doing? How's our week been?
Yeah, all good. Had a great weekend. Did, Saturday, bit of a celebration of my birthday is coming up at the weekend with my family.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
So we were at the Spinnaker Tower, have a bit of brunch with my family.
Was that the 60th?
Which is on Sunday coming because I'm going to be in Portugal. I did that with my family. Saturday just gone.
So I got it. I did see it.
Yeah, no, it was a really, really good day. So yeah, really happy with that. So yeah, good weekend, apart from the football, but we'll get onto that later.
Olivier?
Yeah, I had a good weekend. I had an annoying weekend, actually. I was meant to referee 2 football games and they didn't go ahead.
Why?
Got called off because of the rain, which they have for the last 4 weeks. They don't let anyone play. And it's not because the players will get injured, it's because they want to save the pitches.
Which pitches are these?
It was just council-owned pitches that they just want to save, which, I don't get that. What isn't the pitch meant to be played on? It's the whole point.
Well,
what are you saving it for?
I was talking about this when I was in Italy. We used to play over a multiplex, which was purposely orange for the snow.
Yeah.
So nowadays, it's a bit weird how they choose when they can and can't play. But I understand you don't want to ruin a pitch.
Yeah, back in the day, you'd play wind, rain or shine, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd play with no grass.
Yeah.
It'd be pure mud. It'd be chaos. When do they call the match off for you, though?
8:30 in the morning.
And is it the FA that tells you or is it the ground?
The club itself. The club get to decide. You get to go there and you can throw a ball around the pitch if you really want to.
To do, what does that do?
Like if you throw a ball and it hits a puddle and it stops. Yeah, you're meant to go there with a checklist and I think it's goal mouth if it's too flooded and whether the ball moves in certain areas of the pitch. If it hits a puddle and it stops, technically that is postponable.
They also take into account the ages, don't they? Age of the kids, I guess, and how dangerous it is for them.
Yeah, my attitude with most of these things is...
I can only imagine.
Just fucking play the game.
Just attitude, innit?
Just play the
just
game.
Just attitude that comes out of Ollie.
Just play the game and give me my money. Game.
Which is what I say most weeks,
Just give me my 100 quid a game, kids. Come on, give me all your fucking pocket.
That is what pissed me off, actually, was the money.
I can imagine. So yes, I was in Italy. I had 5 days out there. Flew back in yesterday afternoon. So it was all good. Had sunshine, no rain, just pure sunshine. Right, who's got shout outs?
Yeah, I've got a couple.
What you got?
Oily's got one probably.
I've got two.
It's got, one is going to be Ellie and the other one's going to be Chris.
Ellie keeps giving me grief about not shouting her out. So now I'm kind of not doing it on purpose.
Yeah, you got her. Same as why I didn't add you on Facebook.
Yeah.
I've got Ellie. I've got Ellie for about 10 weeks. Him friend requesting me like, nah, not doing it. But because he's doing the socials, I had to add him a couple of weeks ago now. So Ollie is on me. He's on my socials.
If I wasn't doing the socials, he wouldn't have.
No, I'd have kept it. Just had your wife on my socials. I don't even know why she accepted. Oh, mate, it's so funny. Remember we went for breakfast at the golf club and you went, why did you add my wife on your Facebook? I went, ask her why she accepted, not why I've added her.
Brilliant.
Fucking hell. Things you do to wine people. Who's doing the shout-outs?
Yeah, I've got a couple. First one is an old friend of mine, Julian Bedford. Got in contact with him over the weekend and he was asking me about this podcast he's seen plastered all over the place. So here's a big shout-out to you, Mr. Bedford, and get listening. My last one is just to all my family who joined me at the weekend for my birthday celebrations. Thank you.
Olivier.
I'm going to shout-out the legend, the one, Christopher Carter. He gets a shout-out every week from me. Great lad. Great.
Yeah,
guy.
And Chris, keep your feedback to yourself in future, mate.
Yeah, give some feedback.
Not interesting what you got to say, mate.
Yeah, well,
he
is very interested in what you've got to say, which is why he listens to the podcast every week. I'm also going to give a little shout out to the team I'm meant to be refereeing this weekend, because I think that might be quite nice. They're a little club, local club. So we've got two teams, Rustington Football Club under 15s versus Bognor Regis Town under 15s. So a little shout out to both those teams.
Oh, very good, very nice.
Nice.
I have got shout outs. Super fan of last week, Stevie Orr. Pat Cottrell and Al Cottrell. Desiree Pepper. I had to get that one in. Like you, I got loads of grief. Mark Rhodes in Thailand right now, Norway. Jimmy Ritchie and Philip James, who is in Thailand. Pattaya United is his local team that he organises the transport for. And the super fan of this week is William Sevier. Now, Bill Sevier is someone who has been one of my fans for a long time. Since I wrote the Sailway book, he got in touch with me, had issues mentally, and I've always done everything that I can to support him. That's over 13 years now. He just put a little bit up on my Facebook. So I was going to give him the Super Fan of the Week award because he's just great, all around great, gone through the dark times, come out the other side, and he's smiling right now. And that's always a good thing in my book. So Bill, you've got it, mate. You've got the Super Fan of the Week award.
So don't forget to catch us on the socials and, more importantly, subscribe to whatever platform you listen to.
Yeah, yeah, that's really important, Gazza. Tell them, Gazza.
I'm telling them, subscribe now.
Why should they subscribe, Gazza?
Because you've told them to.
I know, but why? Why should they subscribe? What did we just talk about?
So they get notified.
Gazza.
They get notified straight away when it's being launched or whichever episode is out.
Exactly. I think we should thaw you out 2 days before you come on air.
I think you're right, actually.
I think
one coffee's not enough.
Yeah, definitely not. You need 2 days in the sun before you even come on the show. It is very important that you subscribe. As soon as the show comes out, and it could come out on a Tuesday morning, Friday at, I don't know, 3 a.m., you get notified. And people around the world are in different time zones. So we try and do it on a Thursday. If you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as it's gone to air.
So subscribe.
Subscribe, Ollie, innit?
Subscribe.
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 Subscribe. Now.
Coming up next, Div 2 Roundup.
You're listening to Gazza, Soren, Oily Maguire and Dino on the Morning Kickoff Footy Podcast. How they keep getting into the Apple UK podcast charts is beyond me. What does offside even mean?
Okay, I'm going to do the results of League 2 now.
Thank you, Gazza.
Thank you, Gazza.
For telling us you were doing that.
Accrington Stanley 2, Notts County 2, Wimbledon 0, Newport 2, Barrow 0, Harrogate 0, Bradford 1, Mansfield 5, Colchester 1, Walsall 1, Forest Green 0, Sutton United 1, Gillingham 1, Grimsby 1, MK Dons 3, Crewe 1, Swindon 1, Doncaster 2, Wrexham 0, Tranmere Rovers 1.
Very good.
That's who fucked me up, Wrexham, the weekend.
Lost 2-1, didn't they?
Lost 1-0 at home.
Was it 1-0?
If you were listening to the results just now.
I wasn't. No, I was listening to the levels. Grimsby drawing 1-1 at Gillingham. I'll be honest, I was driving to a B&Q in Pescara at the time and I was trying to watch it on my phone. Gillingham were smashing Grimsby all over the place in the first 10 minutes. The TV cut out on my phone and then it was 1-0 to Grimsby. Then I didn't see it for another 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and it was 1-1. And then towards the end, Grimsby were closer to scoring than Gillingham were. So, bit of a weird one. I didn't really see it, so I can't really say too much about it. I know Grimsby beat them at the beginning of the season, but can't really say too much about it.
Yeah, I see they equalised 2 minutes after you scored, actually.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah. So it's the 13th and 15th.
15th minute? Mm. Wow. I couldn't even believe they went 1-0 up the way they were Gillingham. Gillingham should have had 3-4 in the first 10 minutes. Proper went at Grimsby. When I resumed the match in the second half, it looked very much like Gillingham should have had. And I think they hit the woodwork, should have had a penalty. So yeah, a bit of a weird one. I can't really say too much about it.
I never see Grimsby win. It's always draw, lose, draw, lose.
It's been...
When was the last time they won a game?
Right. David Artell took over and it's been horrific. Shipped in something like 30 goals, 5-0 down. So it's taken... I don't know, 10 games to get to, we've started to draw and a win. That's it. We've just basically, the last five games have been draw, 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 win, draw. So rather than shipping goals in, we've kind of like changed now. We've gone to a back three. Seems to have steadied up.
Well, they do say that when you bring in a new manager, the first thing they got to do is stop leaking goals.
Yeah, but we weren't leaking goals. This was the thing. We just weren't playing very attractive football. And when Hurst went, it's because he was so negative. His football was negative. But we was in a better position than where we are right now. Right now, what, we guys are fourth from bottom?
Yeah.
Something
but,
like that.
But you're saying about the last win. They actually won on the Tuesday night against MK Dons, 1-0. Tuesday the 12th of March.
That was their last win.
I'll tell you what, that game against MK Dons, I think we covered it. So they shouldn't have lost that MK Dons. No way should they have lost that. The time before that was Forest Green. They won 1-0.
We were unbeaten in six games.
Yeah, two wins, four draws.
So you're not losing, but you are letting goals
no,
in.
No, but it's taken him. Everyone wanted David Artell out. We wanted him out because we were losing. We played Crawley, went 2-0 up and we lost 3-2.
Conceded three in six in the last six. So.
Yeah, we've done really well. The last six games, from the point where we wanted him sacked, it's turned around. But all we've done is, like Gazza's saying, unbeaten in six, which is great.
Are they getting goals, Gazza? Is it 1-0s?
Yeah, it's 1-0. 1-2, yeah. I mean,
so they're not scoring enough?
No.
This is a big problem. But on the flip side, we're not conceding as many goals. But I think that's down to Harvey Cartwright now as well, coming out from between the sticks. Instead of just rigidly sticking in the six-yard box, he's coming out to get the ball. That's massive, massive improvement. David Artell did say at the time when he took over, you know, we might have won a couple right now, but things are going to change and it might be horrible. You might not like it, but strap yourselves in because things are about to change. He's done exactly that. And he did exactly the same with Crewe, and Crewe got promoted. So if we wait a season, see what happens next season, see how it goes. He's going to get another batch of players coming in the summer. Hopefully it'll all even out.
What's the shock result of Div 2 teams maybe that don't get a mention?
No good asking me right now because I was up and away.
I mean, I think the Wrexham home defeat was quite a bad...
The shocker of the weekend. That was Div 2.
I have got a post-match stats roundup that I could probably read off. And it goes a little bit something like this. Doncaster Rovers won their second away league match in four attempts, drawn one, lost one, with a 2-1 victory over Swindon Town. As many wins as across their prior 23 such matches combined, drawn 7, lost 14. MK Dons scored their opening goal just 5 minutes into their 3-1 win against Crewe Alexander, taking their tally to 14 goals netted in the opening 10 minutes of matches this campaign, the most of any side in League 2. Notts County have now won just one of their last 11 away league games after drawing 2-2 with Accrington Stanley. Drew 2, lost 8. This season, league matches involving the Magpies have witnessed 144 goals, 72-4, 72 against, the most of any side in the EFL. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's mad.
And they smashed Grimsby as well. Newport County have won four. Oh no, Notts County. Yeah, they did. Newport County have won four of their last six away league games, lost two more than they managed across their opening 13 such matches combined this season. 1-3, drawn 1, lost 9. In their 2-0 win against AFC Wimbledon this weekend, they also kept the first EFL clean sheet against the Dons at the 10th time of asking. That's your League 2 post-match roundup. Gazza.
Talking of Wrexham, they've won just two of their last seven games in the
league. They've fucked my 10 grand acca right up. It right up. But there's only 3 points between them and Mansfield now. I think Mansfield are top.
Yeah, Mansfield
next
top.
Next is Stockport. Yeah. And they've got two games in hand. Yeah. And then Wrexham.
They're 5 points behind Mansfield.
I get a quarter of the odds, which will be 2,500 if they all finish second and third.
No consistency with Wrexham is there at the moment. Just win, lose. You don't know what you're getting. You wouldn't want to bet on them. I certainly wouldn't put them in my acca at the moment. You just don't know if they're going to win or not.
Or Stockport.
Yeah.
And even Mansfield. We want to put Mansfield in. The one fucking something like stupid 6-1, 7-1, and next week they'll
lost. They let me down a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Mental. There's just no consistency. Man City, they're not consistent.
Last season, you would have just stuck Wrexham in there.
Leicester.
Just knew they were
probably... They're not consistent. No. Derby now.
Leicester were for a bit.
Yeah, but they're still 3 points behind
Leeds now.
Or they're level with a game in hand, something like that. Gazza, do you want to do the top five, bottom five, div two?
Yeah, League Two table is as follows. Mansfield are top with 72 points. Stockport are second with 67 with two games in hand. Wrexham are third on 67. MK Dons are fourth on 67. And Crewe are fifth with 64 points. And at the bottom, fifth from bottom, 20th, Salford, 44 points. 21st is Grimsby on 39. 22nd is Colchester on 33. In the bottom two relegation slots, Forest Green on 33 and Sutton United on 30.
Shit, absolute shit.
You've got some room to survive.
I mean, you're 6 points clear of the relegation.
That's only two games.
But you've got a game in hand over Forest Green and two over Sutton.
Colchester have got a game on you.
Yeah.
So they could get it back down to 3 points. But the bottom two, you've start clear of them. You just need to keep Colchester off your back now. But like you were saying, you thought you were going up, not staying up.
Yeah, it's a mad one. I thought Grimsby would be in the playoffs. Definitely in the playoffs. That's where I thought we'd be this year. Not 21st with 39 points. That's just mental. Absolutely mental. Do well if we get up to 19th for Swindon. It is what it is. Olivier, if you would like to do the fixtures for Division 2, please.
Check Friday.
I tell you what, it's barely 9th what you're doing as well, Ollie, when you say, I'm going to give you the fixtures for the 16th of March. I like that little bit.
You like me to read the dates. I'm going to give you the fixtures for Saturday, March 23rd. Third?
Third?
I'm going to give you the fixtures for...
Fixtures? What the fuck's a fixture?
Right. Here's fixtures for Saturday, March 23rd. Mansfield Town versus Colchester United. Harrogate Town versus Bradford City. Barrow versus Newport. Crewe Alexander versus AFC Wimbledon. Doncaster Rovers versus Forest Green. Grimsby Town versus Wrexham. Morecambe versus Gillingham. Notts County versus Salford City. Sutton United versus Accrington Stanley. Tranmere Rovers versus Crawley Town. Stockport County versus Milton Keynes.
Grimsby Wrexham.
Yeah, big one, big one. They'll bring over, I don't know, 800. Easy. Easy 800.
Man, I love your soccer show. We gotta hold it there, the guys, and get this fucking awful advert out the way. Back soon.
Do you have a fleet of diesel vehicles in the south of England? Do you always have downtime with vehicles lost in workshops? Call Williams Diesels, your one-stop shop for on-site repairs. Williams Diesels, voted London's best fleet mobile repairer for London 2024. Services, repairs, MOTs, safety inspections, brakes and clutches, all done on-site. We are mobile to keep you mobile. Do you replace windscreens due to chips or cracks? We repair chips and cracks for our customers, reducing the need for a replacement and saving you money. Call now to find out how we can save you time and, more importantly, money. Call 0753 7171 606 or visit us at williamsdiesels.com. Williams Diesels, we are mobile to keep you mobile.
Coming up next on the MKO is the League One Roundup.
Fucking look at that. Professional.
Barnsley 0, Cheltenham 0, Derby 1, Bolton Wanderers 0, Exeter 1, Burton 0, Fleetwood 1, Charlton 1, Lincoln City 5, Bristol Rovers 0, Peterborough 0, Portsmouth 1, Port Vale 0, Oxford United 2, Reading 4, Cambridge 0, Shrewsbury 1, Carlisle 0, Stevenage 0, Leighton Orient 1, Wigan 1, Blackpool 0, Wickham Wanderers 2, Northampton Town 0.
Cheers for that one, Gazza. And now we have got the post-match stat pack, courtesy of the EFL. Leaders Portsmouth have won 83 points after 39 games in League One this season, accounting for 3 points per win all time. Only once in the history have they had more at this stage of a league campaign, 84 in 1961-1962, when they finished top of the third tier. Derby County manager Paul Warne hasn't lost any of his 5 home games against Bolton Wanderers in the EFL, winning 4 of those, drawing 1. Indeed, they are the team he's faced most on home soil without ever losing in league competitions. Port Vale haven't won any of their 14 games in League One in 2024, drawn 4, lost 10. That's poor. Fort Grimsby was bad. In the 21st century, AFC Wimbledon are the only third tier side to have had a longer run without winning from start of a calendar year, 25 games in 2020. 2022, relegated that season. Joseph Taylor scored his first ever hat-trick in the EFL, while he was the youngest to do so in a league match for Lincoln City, 21 years and 119 days, since Brennan Johnson VMK Dons in April 2021, 19 years and 325 days. With his goal against former side Cambridge today, Sam Smith became the first Reading player to score in five consecutive league games since Lucas Jow between November and December 2020. Ollie, take us to the Div 1 fixtures, and they're on your sheet.
Because there aren't that many.
There's only three.
Div 1 fixtures for Saturday, March 23rd. Burton Albion versus Port Vale. Carlisle United versus Stevenage. And Northampton Town versus Derby County.
I like Derby. They are coming into form. And part of my 10 grand acca is that I have to finish in the top three. So well done, Derby. They are the team that I actually enjoy watching. I've watched Ipswich several times this year. Terrible. Terrible to watch. Let me down. I don't understand how they've got in the top three.
Something happened to Reading this week. Did you read about that? Did you hear about that?
Points deducted again?
No, it was... what was it? It will come to me in a second. I'll go back. It was to do with their...
I know Wickham are trying to purchase their training ground.
That was it. That was it. Yeah, what? We should touch on that.
What?
So Reading are selling their training ground to Wickham and the fans have gone absolutely ballistic.
Is this because someone else owns it and it's
because
not
the Reading,
someone...
The Reading owner is just done with the club. Like he's just going to... It's like being in masses of debt and just selling every asset. And the fans are going nuts because obviously they've had that training ground for years and who the hell are Wickham to come and buy it? So they're pissed off at Wickham for taking their training ground and they're fuming at the chairman for selling the asset off to another rival club.
Wasn't their points deduction to do with players not being paid?
Yeah, so they've got no money. For as far as I know, they've got no money. They're fuming. There's the Reading supporters group out there basically saying they want... Do you know the owner's name?
Dai Youngie.
That's it. Dai Young.
Dai Young.
Dai Young.
What a name. Dai Young.
Just on top of that, it's saying now that Wickham have said since they found out that planning limitations allow only Reading to use the grounds.
Oh, really?
So it's okay. Put on hold at the moment.
That's in order to stop that being sold.
Yeah.
That's for that reason.
Can you think back if there was any other chairman that just completely crushed their club?
Yeah. Crystal Palace. The two owners. One who owned the ground and Simon Jordan. He tried to purchase it from Ron Nodes. Gazza, you must know about Ron Nodes, going back a few years. And Simon Jordan actually purchased it for a third party on behalf of Crystal Palace. I know Simon Jordan went bankrupt. I think £120 million at the time.
Oh, he had to walk away from it.
Yeah, he had no choice.
The administrators took care of it. All right.
And it was just a case of trying to pay everyone, keep the club as a club. And then Steve Parrish, I think, took it over with a consortium.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think Ron Nodes and another guy fought like fuck. And one owned the ground and one owned the club. So without the two, the club was just going nowhere. I can't quite remember what had happened to Sellers Park, but yeah, there was an almighty fallout between them two and he refused to have anything to do with Simon Jordan when he took over. And if I remember rightly, he actually bought the ground through a third party and Ron Nodes thought he was doing the dirty on Simon Jordan, eventually got the ground.
All right. I know there's massive protests going on with these Reading fans at every game at the moment outside the stadiums, kicking off about Die Young.
Die, you bastard.
Did you see the trouble in Turkey again at the weekend? Turkish football's shocking history of violence. Attack on Fenerbahce players is just the latest incident, with referees punched, fans setting stands on fire, and even a gun attack on a team bus.
A gun attack as well? Wow.
We thought people throwing a few little pebbles at the Liverpool players coming into Manchester was bad.
Yeah, spawn fans armed with weapons attacked the celebrating Fenerbahce players.
They'll just end up banning all fans from stadiums, won't they?
Yeah.
For a while, so they can learn to behave.
To some extent, I feel, you know, a certain amount of sorrow for the Reading team. Just look at the teams that have gone down into the Conference League now. Barnets that were staples of football. Yeah. The Yorks that were staples of football. Wrexham, it's taken, what, X amount of years to come up.
Scunthorpe
are not even in non-league now. They're in the Sunday League somewhere. I don't even think they're doing too good in the Sunday League that they're in.
I think Reading should be Sorin's next team. He should do the downfall of Reading from the Premier League to where they are now.
You look at that National League, so you've got Oldham, Chester Sheffield, Altrincham. Who else has been up in the top? Rochdale, Hartlepool, Southend, Barnet.
Southend were with Grimsby last year. I had a ticket to Southend and a hotel. Gave the hotel to a homeless person and didn't bother going because it got called off twice.
And then you got York and Aldershot. So yeah, there's some massive clubs. But National League North, even the one below, that's where Scunthorpe are.
Where are they? Are they in the top six?
And Chester, they're down in there.
Yeah, Chester's another team.
Final thing on Reading, just reading here. Reading have been deducted points three seasons in a row and relegated from the Championship. Failed to pay players' staff and taxes on time in full. Been placed under a transfer embargo and served with a winding up order. Mm. You know what a winding up order is?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Liz Vaness emailed in and she said that AFC Wimbledon is the greatest team in Airview. Now, what I said to her is it AFC Wimbledon or is it MK Dons? Because obviously AFC Wimbledon came in through the non-league,
yeah.
Got promoted like Salford pretty much did.
Mm.
And MK Dons just took over from Wimbledon, but over in a highly criticised move to Milton Keynes. So they've become the Milton Keynes Dons. So which is the...
My eyes, it's got to be AFC Wimbledon is the old Wimbledon. They're in Wimbledon.
In Plough Lane as well.
Yeah, the ground looks real. I went past there a few weeks ago. It looks really good. That's another match I want to go and watch. I'm going to go to Wimbledon and have a look at a game there at some point. Actually played against the old Wimbledon team back in the day. We sold a player to Wimbledon and part of the deal was we'd play them in a friendly and they'd just beaten Liverpool at Anfield and they brought the whole team down and we played them and lost 8-3.
Decent.
Vinnie Jones, John Fashion,
Dennis Wise
all playing. Yeah, really good. Really enjoyed it. But typical crazy gang. We had a few drinks in the bar afterwards. Came out. They were walking back. They had a minibus in the back of the car park. All climbed in. And then one of our players was a director of a company and he had a big Merc in the car. Came back out of the minibus, all stood around the Merc and pissed on it.
Wow. Lovely. Crazy gang. I like the way that AFC have come through the lower leagues and yeah. They're, you know, yeah, rightfully where they should be. And it is AFC Wimbledon, not Milton Keynes, because they've got a stadium that they never seem to fill out. Terrible.
Something like 23. And like you say, they're back at Plough Lane, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't know there's a ground there when you see all the flats that are.
No.
Are on there and it's just sitting behind there. But no, it's a nice little ground. Grimsby was there the other day, so it was nice. And if you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can get us on social media or you can text in at the show and the number's somewhere. Just have a look down, scroll down in the notes and you'll see the number.
Ollie, can we have the league top five and bottom five?
Yes, you can, Kaz. First place, Portsmouth, 83 points. Second, Derby, 78 points. Third place, Bolton, 74 points. Fourth place, Peterborough, 71 points. And fifth place, Barnsley, 71 points. From the bottom, 21st place, Cheltenham with 35 points. Fleetwood with 34 points. 23rd place, Port Vale with 33 points. And 24th, Carlisle with 23 points.
Very good. Imagine having 83 points at this stage in the season.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Coming up next is Oily Maguire's VAR.
You're listening to the Morning Kickoff Podcast. Find us all on the socials. Insta at MKO Show UK, TikTok MKO Show, Twitter MKO Show UK, or text the show on 0753 717 1722. Start your text with MKO.
Next up on MKO, the man, the myth, the fucking dull and droning legend in his own mind, annoying cunt, Oily Maguire.
You know what? I think I want more right now.
Oily Maguire.
Thank you, Dino. Right, I am going to talk to you this week about UEFA. You know what UEFA is called?
UEFA.
Nope. What does it stand for?
Oh, it's an acronym.
Got sorry to
so
ask.
What we're saying is it's an acronym, and what is the acronym?
That's correct.
Okay.
Something E, European.
European Football Association.
That's correct, I think.
You've got to know.
Yeah, but I think I'm missing a page, actually, from my notes. So I'm
you're just, a couple of sheets short
just
of the wind.
Have a quick check, then I'll jump straight back in.
Whatever you do, don't yawn.
What did we say it was?
Fucking hell. It's killing
European them. Football Association or Federation.
European Football Association.
Well, that's what we said.
What I wanted to touch on was what's the difference between UEFA and FIFA? So FIFA govern the whole of the world's football and mainly originated right at the beginning from more South America. And they kind of came in with the FA and IFAB. They brought them into it. The UEFA came after FIFA and they wanted to have some sort of governing body that would look after the whole of European football rather than something that's overlooking the entire world football. So UEFA got set up and they created the European Championships and the Champions League. Mm. So with the Champions League, the most interesting bit about that was how they actually came about getting the Champions League and why they created it. And it goes back to an article that was set up by the Daily Mail where Wolves, right? So Wolves played a team in Europe and won the game and wrote in an article in their paper saying that Wolves were the champions of Europe. And the L'Equipe, do you know that French magazine that's still around today?
Yeah.
So they came out and said, no, you're not. You're not the champions of Europe. There's no one's the champions of Europe because we don't play
European football.
European football, there's no such thing. So how can Wolves be the champions of Europe? We're not having it. So they kicked off and they basically started articles in their magazine saying we need a European football league to see who actually is the champion best of Europe.
Yeah.
And they went to UEFA, and UEFA at this point hadn't set up any competitions. They were in the middle of trying to get the European Championships internationally going. So they went to them, they started this big, basically big war of words between the Daily Mail and the L'Equipe saying who's the champions of Europe were, and eventually UEFA got on board and said, we're going to set up the Champions League, thanks to L'Equipe, who have been pushing for this for
a while. What was it called in the 60s?
So it wasn't called the Champions
UEFA
League.
Cup.
Yeah. There's also a weird rule that UEFA said that they were the only ones that were allowed to use the word European. So no other team, no other competition.
Mm-hmm.
So like Super League now is called Super League rather than European anything.
Yeah.
Because UEFA have this weird
copyright rule.
Yeah. No one is allowed to use the word European other than UEFA. So the Champions League got set up. There was a bunch of teams that actually got invited. And this was in the article at the beginning in the L'Equipe article saying that Chelsea and various other teams from Europe were invited to play in the very first Champions League. So Chelsea actually pulled out because the FA put pressure on them and said, you're not allowed to play in the first one. It will take away from English football. You're not doing it. So there was no English teams in the first one. It was all foreign teams. The most well-known, I would say, is probably Milan, one of the first to play. Real Madrid really got on board quite quickly. They loved Real Madrid, the UEFA, and actually before the trophy changed, you know, can you picture the Champions League trophy?
Yeah.
So it used to be something else. They gave that to Real Madrid when they retired it. So that is actually in Madrid now.
Mm.
So that is essentially UEFA and what they do and how they sort of govern their bit of football. FIFA... still, as we said the other week, the major difference with FIFA and UEFA is FIFA have a seat on the board at IFAB, which means they have a say.
Which is right. Everyone should have not, you know, an equal amount of sway within there, but, you know, you just got to think back to Platini and Sepp Blatter, you know, how crooked they were and what they were doing to award finals and European hosts and this and the next.
I'm going to do a bit on FIFA and their corruption and something in the weeks to come.
Because there's got you've got to do something which stops this. And I know it was rife when Blatter and Platini was doing their bit. Well, there's got to be things put in place. I mean, to stop this Super League. Will the Super League come along again? Probably will.
Yeah.
Probably will. Within 3-4 years, it'll come along.
There is a rule that FIFA and UEFA put in that the Super League have challenged since.
Yeah.
Saying that.
And they can't monopolise football.
Well, what they've said is they were really clever when they set it up. They said that you can't join another league that does what we're doing.
Mm.
And if you do, then you'll be banned from European football competitions, such as the Champions League. So, you know, like if, for example, Apple do the podcast for us, if they went out there and said to us now, you can't put your podcast on any other podcast channel.
Spotify, for argument's sake. Yeah,
unless... so they're allowed to make their channel. They can make it. They can do what they want. We're not stopping them. So we're allowing competition, but we're going to say to the people that host with us, that you can't play for them if you're playing for us.
Yeah.
And that's how they've stopped it. And that's been in the rules since the beginning, which is like 1905, when UEFA first set up. And FIFA and UEFA are in collaboration with each other. They are in bed with each other.
Yeah.
Because they don't want a Super League coming along.
What they can't do is they can't prevent the Super League from happening.
The Super League can set up.
Yeah.
So you could create a Super League, but imagine if you tried to bully you into saying, well, if you're going to go and play for them, you're not playing for us. If you want to risk it.
Yeah, but this is what they're... I think this is what now Real Madrid, Barcelona, Italian clubs, the Milans, they're saying, well, we're just going to take our own league. We're going to take our own league and we're going to do this. We're not going to play in any other competitions. Pretty much like the golf now.
Live golf, yeah.
But would you walk away... If I promised you, you were getting £1 billion from me now... every week.
The fans are not going to allow it. They didn't allow it when it kicked off. As soon as Chelsea said that they were going in, King's Road was just mental with fans. Mm. The fans are not going to allow it, and it's a fan sport. Without the fans, you haven't got a product. Yeah. So the fans are not going to allow it. When the five teams agreed from England that they were going to join the Super League, every single fan of every club boycotted it.
Is where it differs quite a lot from Live Golf, because Live Golf is just a single individual person with some fans that support them, whereas a team is fans all over.
What they've done is they've taken the heart of it out. I mean, the latest addition is John Rahm going over there.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Who wants to watch fucking golf now? You've got Rory and Tiger.
Which is why in the Super League they haven't given up on it, because Live Golf set this sort of precedent that it can be done.
Yeah, and also they're challenging that the FIFA and UEFA can't monopolise football, which the European courts have said you can't.
Yeah.
So I know there's a turn and fro happening, but I just know that the English clubs won't be taking place.
Another thing they were trying to implement or were thinking about with this new format of the Champions League was all the big seeds get a say on who they play in the first round.
Yeah, bollocks.
What the fuck is that all about?
Mm. Yeah, you can't dictate. It's got to be fair. It's got to be something that the public want to watch, not what the big clubs are dictating who's going
to... I mean, going back to the old days, then, would you prefer it when it was like the Champions League was the champions only? You had the UEFA Cup with...
Champions only.
Second, third and fourth. And then the Cup Winners' Cup was where the FA Cup winners and all the...
Top five. None of this coalition friction fucking shit, whatever the UEFA League are saying, where you've played this over 10 years so you get friction points or whatever. Can't remember what it's called. It just... Play it as it was. Those who win the FA Cup get a place. Those who win the league get a place. Those who are second and third get a place.
I think that's the way the fans would like it, but in terms of money, you go down that route, you're liquidating any money that you could potentially get in. So they're never going to go that way. They do it. It's all based around how much money can we milk out of this.
Yeah.
Milk out of this cow that will kick you in the head and send you teleported
into Romania. But you've got to look at what the Premier League have done. The biggest, best...
Yeah,
billions and billion pounds they generate, that everyone's trying to emulate that.
But even more so with UEFA, they want to protect their European clubs, which is why the bigger and badder the Premier League gets, the more UEFA kind of look to protect your Real Madrids that they love, PSG, another one. It's all based out of Europe. It's Belgium, Paris and Spain is pretty much the members and also founding members from those countries of UEFA.
Mm. Right, let's move on. Very good. I enjoyed that. Coming up next on MKO, we have the Championship Roundup.
You're listening to the Morning Kickoff Podcast. Find us all on the socials. Insta at MKO Show UK, TikTok MKO Show, Twitter MKO Show UK, or text the show on 0753 717 1722. Start your text with MKO.
And the results are as follows. Swansea 2, Cardiff 0. Birmingham 0, Watford 1. Ipswich 6, Sheffield Wednesday 0. Middlesbrough 0, Blackburn 0. Plymouth 0, Preston 1. Rotherham 0, Huddersfield 0. Stoke 0, Norwich 3. Sunderland 0, QPR 0. And West Brom 2, Bristol City 0. One game on the Sunday, which was Leeds 2, Millwall 0.
Taking them top of the league. And I've got the Championship post-match stat pack courtesy of the EFL. Swansea City have won 5 of their last 6 home league games against Cardiff City, whilst also keeping a clean sheet in each victory, losing one. Ipswich Town's 6-0 win over Sheffield Wednesday was the biggest win in the Championship since Fulham 7-0 against Luton Town in May 22. Since Kieran McKenna's first game in charge of the Tractor Boys in December 2021, they have scored 6+ goals in 3 different league games, more than any other current EFL side. I just think they're shit. Norwich City's Gabriel Sara, 10 goals, 11 assists, is one of 4 players to both score 10+ goals and assist 10+ goals in the EFL this season, along with Adam Armstrong, 18 goals, 11 assists, Dan Kemp, 17 goals, 10 assists, and Kieran Dewsbury Hall, 10 goals, 12 assists. Each of Watford's last 6 league wins have come away from home. The first Championship team to see as many consecutive wins all come on the road since Bristol City in October 21. 7 in a row. With a 2-0 victory over Bristol City on Saturday, West Bromwich Albion have now won 7 of their last 8 home games, losing 1. Only Leeds United, 14. Oh, right, okay. Only Leeds United, 14, and Ipswich Town, 14, have won more home games in the Championship this season than the Baggies, 13. Right, we've got no Championship fixtures this week. Nothing. But what we have got is Gazza or Ollie doing the Championship League standings. Where are we? 5 from the top and 5 from the bottom.
Starting at the top, first place Leeds with 82 points. Second place Leicester with 82 points. Third place Ipswich with 81 points. Fourth place Southampton with 73 points. And fifth place West Bromwich Albion with 66 points. And the bottom is 20th place QPR, 40 points. 21st place Birmingham City, 39 points. 22nd place Huddersfield with 39 points. 23rd place Sheffield Wednesday with 38 points. And rock bottom, 24th Rotherham with 20 points.
You have one fucking shot, Gary. Don't fuck this up. Tell the listeners your England team of the decade. This is GGG, Gary's golden generation. The year is 1970. Fuck me, Gary. Dean wasn't kidding when he said you smell of piss.
Right, well, the 1970s was a bit of a mixed bag, really. Obviously, we got to the 1970 World Cup final. We were the winners of 66, but we lost in the quarterfinal. But more alarmingly, we didn't qualify for the 74 or the 78 World Cup, nor the Euros 72 and 76. So a bit of a black decade there for England football. But the team I've chosen for my all-time England 11 for the 70s are as follows. Goalkeeper, Ray Clements, 61 caps, 27 clean sheets. Did think about Shilton, but I think he played a lot more in the 80s, so I think he could be in the 80s team, but we'll come to that a bit later. Back four are as follows. Phil Neal at left back, 50 caps. Mick Mills, right back, 42 caps. Big Dave Watson, centre half, 65 caps, alongside squeaky Emlyn Hughes with 62 caps. Moving on to the midfield. On the left of midfield, I've got Peter Barnes, 22 caps, 4 goals. On the right-hand side, Steve Coppell, 42 caps, 7 goals. Centre of midfield, I've gone for Ray Wilkins, 84 caps, 39 goals. And Trevor Brooking, 47 caps, 5 goals. And up front, I've gone Kevin Keegan, 63 caps, 21 goals, alongside Trevor Francis, 52 caps, 12 goals. Manager-wise, adequately, Ron Greenwood was a manager of a few years in the 70s, not a bad record. Don Revie did it England for a bit, but I've gone for Don Revie because in the 70s, he also won 8 trophies for Leeds with Leeds United. So I've taken him as the manager of the decade as well. And that wraps up the 70s.
Lovely.
We'll take that off for a minute.
Nice, isn't it?
All you podcast listeners from around the world, this is the main event of the evening, the moment you've all been waiting for. Let's get ready to fumble.
Gazza, as there is no fixtures to speak of as such, tell us about Spurs and Fulham.
Yes, was quite looking forward to this. Had a great day on Saturday, so I thought it was a tea time kickoff, so I get home, watch the football, and very disappointing. Fulham away, spanked 3-0. Spurs were very, very lackluster. Didn't show any fight, any spirit. Just really, really poor. Fulham played well, I have to say. Hats off to Fulham, but yeah, we weren't at the races. It was just a Grimsby-esque sort of performance.
Ange ball. What's happening?
They were just comparing it to the Villa game the week before, and they were saying, oh, were the Spurs players, you know, thought they'd beaten Villa, this is going to be easy. PC, but and they were comparing like sprints throughout both games. And in the Villa game, I think there was like 74 sprints. In the Fulham game, it was just over 30. So yeah, it was just very lackluster, very poor. But he did say, and he's been saying it all season, it's going to be a roller coaster season. He's only been there 8 months.
I think the best thing Ange does is interviews, to be honest. Very good with the media. Not so sure about his footballing side of things.
The way that they're playing, is it not comparable to Conte? Is it worse? Is it better?
It's a much better watch. It's more exciting, but we're only 4 points better off than last season.
Oh, you are?
At this point. So, but he has, he's been saying all season, you know, it's a progression. It's going to take time. So you've got to go with it. I mean,
is there any plan B with Ange Ball? Because there are a couple of teams.
No, he's come out and said there is no plan B. It's straight. This is the way I play. If you don't like it, don't come.
Which, if some teams figure you out, you're done. Like Fulham had you sussed, and I think a couple of teams this season have had you sussed.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I'm just going to roll with it and see what happens. It's a much better watch. It's more enjoyable to watch. They're winning more than they're losing. I'm just going to be intrigued to see what happens in the summer. We need to buy some more players, strengthen again and go again and see what happens.
Question for you then, Gary. Have Tottenham blown it to get Champions League football this season?
And that's coming from an Arsenal supporter, so it's going to be heavily loaded.
I just like to stick the knife in
and turn it as well.
No, they haven't blown it. I mean, Villa drew, so we're still... I mean, they're on about fifth place now, aren't they, as a Champions League spot? So it could be the top five that qualify for the Champions League. But no, we're 3 points behind Villa with a game in hand. Both got a tough run in, so yeah, it's all to play for. United are 6 points further back. They're still in with a shout, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good run in.
Who do we reckon is going to win the league?
Arsenal.
Not sure. I'd like to see the reaction of Liverpool after the weekend, see how, I mean, obviously it's international break now, and I'd like to see how they react after obviously going out of the FA Cup. But I think, yeah, if they can give a reaction, they're going to still be there or thereabouts. But it could go either way. I think all three could win it, and I'm not quite sure.
Hang on a minute.
I still think
you can't say all three.
If I have to pick one at the moment, I'll probably still go City. But this all depends on next weekend's game.
The next three for Liverpool is Liverpool Brighton, winnable. Liverpool Sheffield United,
winnable.
Man United Liverpool,
winnable after that cup game.
They're going to want revenge, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to be fired up for that.
Liverpool Palace.
Winnable.
Liverpool Fulham.
Ooh, you'd never know with this Fulham.
No, yeah. Interesting.
Depends what Fulham you get on the day. Liverpool West Ham. Winnable.
Winnable.
Then it's the Liverpool Tottenham game.
Yeah, they'll be up for that because after what happened at Air Ground.
Then Liverpool Wolves.
Winnable. That's a dodgy one, Wolves. Never. I won't bet on either one of that.
That's it.
What's Arsenal got?
But Liverpool's, all three are still in Europe, aren't they? So still.
Man City obviously going to go to the final.
Arsenal's running. Man City, Arsenal. Arsenal, Luton.
Winnable.
Arsenal, Brighton.
Winnable.
Arsenal Villa.
Ooh, draw.
Tough. Arsenal Wolves. Winnable. Arsenal Tottenham.
Draw.
At Tottenham, that is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
2-2.
Arsenal Bournemouth.
Winnable.
Winnable.
Arsenal Man United.
Difficult one.
Arsenal Everton.
What would you say out of that?
So that's the City game's the pivotal one, isn't it? If you get something out of that.
The City game, you take City back a few and you've got to beat United, which, remember the Declan Rice goal at the beginning of the season? That was right at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
That was quite a tough game. But two different teams a season on. The Villa, tough.
Depends what Villa turn up, yeah.
Tottenham Arsenal, is because it's the derby thing, is a whole other level to it.
Tends to be 2-2.
So there's some potential draws and possibly some losses in there.
Liverpool for their final running.
We just did Liverpool.
Man City's the final one. Man City's final running.
Arsenal at home.
Man City Arsenal. Man City Aston Villa. Man City Luton.
Winnable.
Yeah, that's the only one that I'd say so far. Three.
Man City Tottenham.
At Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
Man City Chelsea.
That's not easy.
Man City Forest.
Winnable. 6 points.
Man City Wolves.
9 points.
Man City Fulham. Then Man City West Ham.
12 points. There's some tough games in there for City, you know?
The City Chelsea, if Chelsea keep improving, which looks like they maybe are. Tottenham. Tough. Aston Villa, tough.
Yeah.
I just think with City, yeah, it depends on the Champions League. And I suppose they got their FA Cup semi. They got
Chelsea,
haven't they?
Yeah, again.
I think Chelsea are going to beat them in the cup.
Depends what Pep does. You just don't know, do you?
No.
Is he serious about winning it, or does he just want to go to Europe again?
Premier League results. Burnley 2, Brentford 1, Luton 1, Nottingham Forest 1, Fulham 3, Tottenham 0, West Ham 1, Aston Villa 1. There you go.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Oh, FA Cup, won it?
FA Cup, yeah.
Should we touch on the FA Cup game?
We have to, because I've got it in there. Did anyone watch the FA Cup games? I was flying in, so I managed to get just as I was getting on the plane. What did I get on the plane?
Chelsea-Leicester.
I can't remember. It was probably Chelsea-Leicester as I was getting on the plane. And I managed to just get the end when I got to England. Obviously, our time difference. Chelsea was 2-0 up. Went to half-time. I had to go through customs and whatever else. By the time I came out, I think I was on the 78th minute. It was 2-2. So I didn't really see what had happened. And I just remember half-time hearing Raheem Sterling got slated.
Yeah.
He missed the penalty.
Yeah.
But also I saw a free kick that he took and it was Cole Palmer that was going to take it with him. He did this massive sidestep and run up and the ball went, it's like he was at Twickenham. It was horrific. Now, if this penalty was anything like that and he's missed 5 out of 7 penalties, whereas Cole Palmer has done 5 out of 5, I don't get it. I know you want to get your confidence up and I know he's brave trying to take it out of Cole Palmer's hands. But he missed again, 5 out of 7.
And he missed a sitter as well. He went through one-on-one with the keeper and stuck it wide.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he set up one of the goals, didn't he? Which just after that.
So. Yeah, it was just after the penalty miss, yeah. Which Cole Palmer then obviously tapped in.
But Leicester, they made a good game of, I mean, the red card then sort of right when it was 2-2, because they were on top for a while. And then, yeah, they got the red card and then that was it. That was it, game over, really. That was a big turning point.
The own goal, terrible. But the goal that they did score, fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely great goal. But Sanchez in goal for Chelsea, terrible. Yeah. No awareness. But he came out for a ball. I obviously saw the highlights. There was a corner taken or free kick taken and Sanchez didn't even need to come out for it. But we came out, leapt out, missed the ball completely.
Yeah.
Just that Sanchez is just a no-no for me. Petrovic all day long. Keep him in goal. Done a great job. Supposed to be number two for me is Chelsea's number one. Natural number one as well. To go 4-2, they put on his goal, fantastic.
Yeah.
And then Madueke came on, scored a deflection. I've never seen so many goals scored from deflections, by the way, this weekend. Deflection. Wolves Coventry, massive.
Wow.
Massive win there for Cov.
I mean, yeah.
Mark Robin's taken over the squad, hasn't he?
97th and 100th minute, 2 goals.
They were a club not that long ago that were struggling, Coventry.
They didn't even have a ground.
Coventry were 1-0 up after 53 minutes. Wolves equalised in the 83rd, then went ahead on the 88th minute, and you think game over. And then the 97th and 100th minute, Coventry got the last 2 goals.
Was that not an extra time then?
No. Just injury time.
Oh, injury time. Mm. Oh, right, okay. Obviously, I didn't see that.
The snatch and grab at the end.
Very much
and
so.
And Wolves shell-shocked.
I did watch the Man City-Newcastle game in Italy.
That's the one I missed.
Yeah, it's just...
Silver, wasn't it? Silver, 2 goals.
Yeah. Deflection. Unbelievable.
Newcastle were terrible to start with and then...
Terrible. Awful.
They got in more into the game, but by that point, it was already gone.
Yeah, Haaland was just...
Yeah.
But the game of the weekend,
Liverpool
won for the record books, wasn't it? Saying one of the best FA Cup games ever.
Yeah, that for me was the final. That was the final I think we all needed to see.
It was incredible.
A great game. Man United going down. Oh, no, sorry. Man United going up and then going 2-1 down before half time.
Yeah.
And then Rashford missing 2 chances that I saw.
Yeah. He had a sitter that he put wide.
Possibly offside, but yeah. He buried
one though, didn't he?
Anthony then equalised and he made it 2-0 in the 87th minute. And then you think Elliot's ending it extra time, but in Liverpool 3.
Yeah, first period of extra time, go 3-2.
And then Rashford and then Diallo, whatever his name is. Then got
Ahmad,
then
Ahmad,
got,
won
then,
it.
Then got sent off.
Ahmad Diallo.
Yeah. And then a minute over the 30 minutes extra time, literally seconds to go.
From a Liverpool
slots it in. I mean, they just broke away, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just mental. Just no one was back for Liverpool.
Do you think the keeper should have saved it?
No, I think it was one of those finishes that was, he got it perfect. I bet he couldn't do it again.
No.
It was one of those ones.
I don't know if I'd be able to use this, but Alan Pardew used an ace phrase back in the day. They raped Liverpool. He said that live on air. I don't think he ever worked for ITV or BBC ever again. He said they raped him. That's not my line. That's what Alan Pardew said. He's no longer on TV and neither is Ron Atkinson. But it was just phenomenal.
Scores a goal, takes his shirt off and then gets a red card.
Yeah, does he miss the...
No, it's a league game. I checked that this morning because I thought he's going to miss the semi-final, but it's not. It's going to be the next league game.
Which probably wouldn't have played in anyway.
No.
He was on the bench and came off, so he knew.
My missus asked me that. Will he miss the semi-final? I don't know. I presume so. It was an FA Cup match. Mm. Yeah. It's a league match that he misses two games. Yeah.
If you get sent off in any English competition, it's any English competition you're suspended for.
Well, it can't be because he's just said it's league.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So if he was sent off in the league.
But he's not. He's sent off in the FA Cup.
If you're sent off in the league and then you had an FA Cup game, you could miss the FA Cup game and vice versa. So if you got sent off in the FA Cup, you can miss a league game.
So is he going to miss three league games before the FA Cup?
It's just one, isn't it?
No, just one.
Well, red card.
So he'll miss
a second yellow card, isn't it? Yeah.
So he won't be able to play in the next Premier League game.
Got it.
Which he wouldn't play in anyway.
No.
But he might play in the final.
No. Yeah. No, I get that.
So that means whatever it is.
Thank you very much, Mike Dean. Fucking annoying cunt.
One I heard, if we were on to England a little bit, is...
We can go on to England.
Let's just touch on it. So I thought this was a good one. Dominic Solanke is absolutely having the season of his life.
Yeah.
And he can't get in the England team. But Ivan Toney, who's been kicking a football around since January, is in.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Ivan Toney. He's good. But Solanke, surely he must be sat there going, how do I get a call up?
I'm wondering whether if Kane drops out, whether he'll bring him in.
I just don't know.
Kane's not playing, is he?
He collided with the post, didn't he?
I don't know, he's a prick.
He's done that before, though, hasn't he, Southgate? He's brought someone in that didn't quite make the cut and then they got the call up.
It's going to be, could be Solanke.
Ivan Toney's already told me it's 2-1, that game.
Yeah.
Put your house on it, your wife, your daughters, and next door's daughters. Yeah. It's 2-1, Ivan Toney has told me. I'll tell you what I'm trying to get.
You're trying to get him on the podcast?
No, Mark Crossley.
Oh.
I'm trying to get Mark Crossley. One of the stories was Mark Crossley had played in goal for Notts Forest on the Saturday, and he played Liverpool.
Oh.
And when they'd all finished playing and he had Percy, who was the captain of Notts Forest, and he goes to Mark Crossley after playing on the Saturday against Liverpool. He goes, now then, shithead, turn up at the house at 9 a.m. and bring your fucking gloves. He turns up at the house. He goes, Barbara will make you a cup of tea, shithouse. I'll see you in a minute. And he goes to Barry. He says, any idea why the gaffer's told me to bring me gloves? He says, no, I haven't got a clue. He goes, right then, shithouse. Thank you very much for agreeing to play for our Kevin's football team. He put him in goal for a fucking Sunday league team, right? 1-7-0 or whatever. And he turned around to him on the Wednesday and Stuart Pearce had been away playing for England or whatever else. They were playing a game and they all come back. And he went, by the way, shithouse, we got fined £60 for playing you as a ringer. I've took it out of your wages. That's Brian Clough. It's fucking, honestly, how Mark Crossley does it, it's just fucking ace. I want to get him on the show. I think he'll just be a great fucking, just a giggle. It's going to cost me an arm and a leg. I have to pay him, but he'd just be great. All right, let me see if this works. I don't know which one's this going to be. I'm just pressing play. Wait a minute.
We used to have this towel in the middle of the dressing room with a ball on it all throughout week because we got chains in there during week and all to go training. And this ball hardly ever moved. Like, you know, if you kicked it off, you go find and all. Like, we're part of our, like, discipline in that dressing room. And this day, Gaffer's walked in, Cluffy's walked in with a shopping bag in his hand and there's an iron in it, right? And he walks over to the ball and he kicks ball off towel and he puts bag down on towel and he steps back so everybody can see him.
Centre stage.
And he goes to Piercy. How did you think you played on Tuesday for England, Skipper? And Pearcey goes, yeah, I thought I fucking done all right. Yeah. Well, Clough is gone. Well, I thought you were shit, son. Wasn't he, lads? He's gone to the dressing room. We're all, oh, Floyd did all right, you know. He says, and I've seen the programme from last Saturday's game, Aston Villa at home, page 9, bottom left-hand corner, advertisement, Stuart Pearce, electrician. What the fuck's all that about, son? He says, well, when I played non-league football for Wealdstone, I'm an electrician by trade, and we've kept the business running in the family. So I asked the fellow that writes the programme, put me a little advertisement in, and I get my signed England shirt, deal for a deal and all that. Our captain's a fucking fraud, lads. He says, what do you mean? He said, if Barbara, my wife's at home now, she calls that number because the light bulb's gone out, you're not fucking coming, are you? He said, no, my brother is. Told you, lads, captain's a fucking fraud. And as he's doing this, he's walking over to a bag in the middle of the dressing room with his iron in it. And he bends down and he pulls this iron out. He goes, as a matter of fact, son, Barbara's iron's fucked. If you don't mend it, you ain't fucking playing Saturday. And that iron were mended and on his desk before a game Saturday, did it.
That's it from Gazza, from Ollie, and from myself. And next week, Gazza is not here.
No, I'll be in Porto.
Yeah, all jetting off.
Have a lovely time, Gazza.
Thank you.
For his birthday. Yeah. It'll be me, Ollie, and Sorin. It's going to be fucking carnage. I'm getting anxiety levels going up now just thinking about having Sorin back.
Can you just make sure you dig me up before the plane?
No, it's not my responsibility. You're not on the podcast. Fuck you.
We only want you here, Gazza.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Goodbye from me. Goodbye from Ollie. Goodbye from all of us. Catch you on the next episode.
Ciao.
Bye. Ciao. Ta-da.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Duty. Well, that went quicker than I expected. All that talk of football, I nearly fell asleep. Anyway, if that's what you like, if this is your bag, if you can cope with the droning noise of Oily Maguire, then tune in next time for more of the same old bollocks. Leave a review, subscribe, share, and tell your friends. Thank you for listening.
Go.
All you podcast listeners. Yep.
I thought you was asking me a question. Are you... Right, go.
All you podcast listeners from around the world.
And Kiernan Dewberry. Hang on a minute. And Kiernan. Is it Kiernan? It's a weird name, isn't it? Kiernan? Kieran. Can't it could be called Kieran? Should we call him Kieran? Sounds better, doesn't it? Rolls off the tongue. The man, the mystery, the legend in his own head.
And Boily.
Cunt.
That's a lovely intro.
Fucking Gazza to fucking ruin that. God, his voice is insured for millions of pounds.
Well, I sound like him, so what's the difference?
You sound fucking nothing like him, you daft cunt. I sound like you.
Okay. Coming up next on MKO is the League One Roundup.
I was just fucking talking.
Well, don't.
Fucking hell.
Turn that mic off. You ready?
As many wins as across their prior... Whoever writes these fucking things don't get checked. As many wins... So for now, it's going to be Gazza and Dino because that's what's live.
That's worse than fucking yawning.
Oh, no. I drank that fucking tea, that's why.
Coming up next, League Two Roundup.
Where the fuck did that voice come from?
I don't know. It's in there somewhere.
It's like a John Wayne kind of.
Do you want another one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Holly do a couple as well. I'll choose when I'm doing it. If you would like to sponsor one of the shows, and you will get a nice little package. Really, really. What was that? The fuck was that?
The air freshener. It was the air freshener.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Made me jump.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
It's a bit traumatic.
Fucking hell, you inhale it. Fucking hell.
Foden, Saka. Foden,
Phil Foden, Pocket Rocket. Who's the other two?
Saka.
You got Saka.
Bukayo.
It's like a chicken.
Fucking. I was trying not to say Bukaki, and then I forgot what his name was, and that made it even worse for me. And then it was just fucking whatever. So you got. Oh, mate, just Saka. It's fucking Saka.
Musaka.
Don't fucking let me get into that.
I'm going to give you the fixtures for Saturday, March 23rd. No, don't like that either.
No, because you go for the
23rd. Right, here's the fixtures for Saturday, March 23rd. Mansfield Town, Colchester.
Hang on. You can't go Mansfield.
Mansfield Town, Colchester United. No, you want versus.
Got to. You can't just, it's like Sorin just going, Grimsby Town played 15 of their
That's
games.
That's the way I would say
in
it.
21 but. Versus fucking, yeah, but you're a broadcaster. Are you done?
Yeah.
Fucking bones creaking. I'm surprised you haven't got PTSD. Fucking all that creaking, like being in your fucking coffin.
Hi, guys. Oh, no, that's fucking shit.
That was shit. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Cliff Richard here. Should we sing a song? We're all going on a summer holiday. One of you two do coming up next on MKO. Div 1 results. What did we say for Div 2?
We all did it.
No, I didn't. You did. You two did. But what
coming up next on?
Is Div 2.
Roundup.
Roundup. Roundup with Div 2. That's what we need to do. Roundup with Div 2.
Coming up next, Div 2 Roundup.
I thought we were doing Div 1.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, we are doing Div 1, you dickhead. Fucking hell. Throw that in there. No, hang on a minute. Right, so that's Roundup.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on. I just need to put that in for the next week's.
Coming up next on MKO Roundup. This fucking
what?
Bullshit.
You can't have MKO Roundup.
See, I was getting there. See,
he's trying to give you content.
Content
looking,
here.
Looking at the balls.
I need a tablet. They've been all over the world. They have them balls. All right, love for them. Fucking up. Don't get me started on my balls, man. Come on, Gazza. They got ears on them as well. Have a feel. Didn't you have them? We had them at the barbecue, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Hang on, man.
Yeah.
Photos of me and you having a fucking kiss on the airplane, right? Cheers. Gazza, come on, throw it in, quick. And ladies and gentlemen, next and last.
Levels good, yeah?
I did a wee up my bum.
Fuck's sake. Levels.
Oh, shit, sorry. He's showing me shit.
Don't look at what he's just put on the fucking group chat.
Have a look at what's on the group
he's
chat.
Just put a picture of his shit on there.
It was a wee. I did a wee out my bum with a bit of poo. It was like hot air passing over poo with a bit of wee.
But you don't need to post it.
Fuck's sake.
I thought you was asking me how it was going. So I posted a photo. It weren't going very well. I was doing wee's out my bum. I'll sit down wee. Anyway,